continues to pay homage to Kobo Daishi is to undertake a pilgrimage on the island of his birth, Shikoku. The 88 temples on the Henromichi, literally the Pilgrim's Road, were chosen for their importance in the history of Kobo Daishi. These temples make up just a handful of all the temples on the island of Shikoku and are spread around the 1,200-kilometre circumference of the island. Of the 88 temples, 61 are located in the mountains and 27 are on the plain near the coast. Of the 61 temples located in the mountains, 25 are located at or near the top of their mountain, with the highest situated at an elevation of 1,000 metres. In some areas, the temples are close together and it's possible to visit several in one day. In other, more rural areas, it can take up to 3 days to walk between temples. The toughness of undertaking the Henromichi cannot be underestimated, and the hiking all comes back to Kobo Daishi. It is always about the Daishi. Pilgrims believe that his spirit still lives in Shikoku, and that by travelling the pilgrimage, they will be walking in his presence. To venerate him, yes, but also to seek some kind of fortune in their own lives. As a teenager, I would occasionally see these pilgrims, these henro, cutting a figure through town. With their white robes, wooden religious staffs, and well-worn backpacks, they were delightfully foreign and represented all the romance and adventure that I, as a 15-year-old, was longing to have. The pilgrimage was, in my mind, adventure travel on an epic scale. It fit with my worldview of myself as a dusty, travel-worn explorer. Well, I would be one day. I made the decision to return to Japan to walk the Henromichi one way or another as soon as humanly possible. Fast forward 13 years. My life was vastly different to what I pictured it would be. Severely depressed, socially withdrawn, overweight, on the dole, and living with my mum, I was 28 and miserable. And then, completely by chance, the Henromichi came back into my life. In a small community library in Kangaroo Flat, I stumbled across the iconic text, Japanese Pilgrimage, by Oliver Statler, the book on the pilgrimage. Halfway through, Statler recounts the story of a suicidal lady who decided to walk the Henromichi with her husband, or die trying. While they knew the risk of her death in their attempt, it was their only hope left. Starting at Temple 1, they walked a short distance each day, and for several days it was agonizing for both of them. But they prayed as they walked, and over time she was strengthened and the walk became easier. When she reached Temple 88, she was cured. The nature of the pilgrimage, the physical exercise, the dwelling in the mountains and nature, the dogged perseverance and discipline was necessary to their miracle. But without their faith and their prayer, a cure could not have happened. I put the book down, stunned. I didn't need any clearer sign. I didn't even need to finish the book. I was hooked. I decided then and there to go back to Japan as soon as I could, to finally fulfill the promise I had made to myself as a 15-year-old. I would walk the Henromichi and walk myself back to health at the same time. I brushed aside the barriers that other people might have found daunting. The 1,200 kilometres of mountainous terrain. The likelihood that I'd be going in the middle of the Japanese summer. The fact that I'd never done a multi-day hike before. It didn't matter that I wasn't fit, I'd get fit. It didn't matter that I had no money, I'd do it on the smell of an oily rag. It didn't matter that the summer heat would be sweltering, I'd tough it out. I would do the pilgrimage, or die trying. The night before my trek, beer cans piled up as I got increasingly nervous. I triple-checked the few notes I'd copied from the internet and obsessively reorganised my pack, which was looking bigger and more unwieldy by the minute.